God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Found out just 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that we had just uploaded our 500th message. Praise God. And sometimes people listen to them and say, I should go to that church. I've mentioned before, I've been retired. I was a computer tech for immigration for my day job. And the day, my last day at work, one of the women that worked there came up to me and said, you know, I was listening to one of your messages the other day. So, praise God. People are listening. People are hearing. Prayerfully, God is using them to touch people's lives. I want to talk this morning about prayer God answers. We're going to go through some script. We're going to go through quite a bit of scripture. If you've never heard me speak before, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, keep your feet when you enter into the house of God and be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools. For God is in the heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. What that basically comes down to is find out what God has to say, not what man has to say. So we do a whole bunch of scripture and we talk about what God has to say on a topic, what God has to say about a situation, because that's what's important. God is the one who has the answer. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is written by men, inspired by God, basically written by the Holy Spirit through the fingers of men as they wrote things down. And I found things in the Bible that I don't understand, and I have a little question mark next to it. Because I have a promise that one day I will know even as also I am known. But I haven't found anything in the Bible ever that was wrong. Found things I thought was wrong, and then I ended up having to get corrected. So I'm a firm believer that where things look like there's a contradiction, maybe we just don't understand and there's a bit more level that we need to go. For an example of that, a few years ago, 25 years ago, a while back at any rate, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in St. Albans and the pastor of the Pentecostal Church in St. Albans were arguing scripture in the editorial pages of The Messenger, the local newspaper. Didn't seem like a good way of doing that to me. And, of course, if you're familiar with the conflict between Pentecostals and Baptists, it's how do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38, or do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, as Jesus said in Matthew 24? And what I found in studying was that I had a wrong concept of the word name. It's not name as in Andrew or Steve. It's character, honor, and authority. And when I got a deeper understanding of what the Bible actually said, there was no more conflict. Because the character, honor, and authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the character, honor, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, throw that out there, and we'll start. Prayer God answers. In Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He has just said, ask them who people say he is, and then who do you say I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. I call you now Peter, said that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And you are Peter, and on this rock, on this foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus gave authority to his followers to declare things, to set things in motion, to speak what wasn't, but speak in a prophetic manner. And having that ability to speak, that ability to declare, it comes from understanding who Jesus is. It comes in understanding the Holy Spirit given to us. It comes to understand our position as ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of heaven on this earth. Hebrews 11. I'm old and easily confused. I do that sometimes. Okay? Let's go on to Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. And we know that Hebrews is known as the faith chapter because of the way it starts out. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The very foundation, the very building blocks of what we hope for and what we expect is our faith. Not that our faith is the... It's a good thing this is recorded so everybody can hear I'm confused for a second. Okay? It's not just having faith. It's who we have faith in. I have faith I can jump down here and not hurt myself. But I've hurt myself many times doing things. But I have faith in God, a God who loves me, who cares for me, who guides me, who directs my steps, who has redeemed my life from destruction, who has watched over me and continues to guide me. And when I know that I'm doing what God has told me to do, well, I know that when I'm being obedient to what God wants done in my life, then I can expect to see God's direction. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God directs my steps. Praise God, because my sense of direction is a bit messed up. When I try doing things my own way, when I try to walk out in my own understanding, I end up in a mess. But God is able to direct me. God is able to keep me. A man's heart may devise his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Praise God. Getting back to this, back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. King James says a good report. A good record that they stepped out in faith, believing God, and God came through. We're not going to read the whole passage or the whole chapter. We are going to read a few more verses, though. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It says, before that the earth was without form and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the deep. God pulled all this together. You know, evolutionists talk about a big bang. Well, God said light and bang. There it was. Because other than that, they're trying to make something out of nothing. And without an outside force, without a force capable of doing that, that's not going to happen. But God said it, and it was done. You might have heard people say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, God said it, and that settles it. Me believing it is just His grace in my heart. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Stop right there for just a second. Enoch walked with God and was no more. Enoch lived 365 years old and was no more because God took him. But he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to know that God exists. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God said, the message that comes forth in this is trusting that God is who He says He is, and trusting He is able to do what He says He's going to do. He is able to save to the uttermost those who are lost. That would be me. When we see God move and change people's lives, when we see God work in a situation, I've seen people healed. I've seen lives completely changed. I've seen addictions broken. Some in my own life, some not. But I've seen God do wondrous things. God has redeemed my life from destruction. My mom, who died in 1987, my mom got a prophecy when I was 12 years old that all three of her sons would serve the Lord. Now in 1987, when she died, that prophecy hadn't been fulfilled. It wasn't until 93 that I stopped running from God. Next brother, younger than I am, went for 35 years, and he was never sober unless he was in jail. And now he's a preacher. My mom never saw it. My youngest brother, we're still waiting on that prophecy to be fulfilled. But we believe that if God has said it, it's going to come to pass. So now let's talk about Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. You remember the story of Noah. Noah was 500 years old when God told him to build the ark. Remember how long it took Noah to build the ark? Noah was 600 years when the flood came. For 100 years on the plains where it has never rained, there is no water. God said, there's coming a flood. I want you to build an ark. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 100 years, facing the ridicule of the people around him, facing the just the overwhelming bit of the task. What is it that I have to do? Building it according to God's word, being very specific and very diligent in what he was doing, knowing that God spoke to him, though everyone around him is trying to tell him he's crazy. Think about things that have happened in your own life. As God has told you to do something, as you felt like God has impressed you to do something, and the people around you are like, that doesn't even make sense. What are you talking about? 1998, I left Richmond, Virginia. I got on a train because I was going to Montreal. Felt like God was sending me north. I had everything that I owned in a 20-inch duffel bag and a small backpack. And I got all the way to the Canadian border over here in Highgate. And they wouldn't let me in the country. Something about it being another country, you can't just sneak, you can't just come across the border. And they turned me around. But as they turned me around, I began to meet people and it became obvious I was right where God had wanted me. But if God had told me, I want you to go to Vermont, or Alberg, Vermont, I'm one of those people, really, like, what state is Vermont in? I grew up in the Everglades. There is no way I would have ended up here unless God had a plan. When I got here on a midnight on a Tuesday night, or 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, got to the border. I got questioned for several hours. I got a ride back into St. Albans by a Border Patrol agent that was getting off. So that was Wednesday morning. And I began going and meeting the different ministers and the different people. And that Sunday night, I was at the Nazarene Church in St. Albans, and I met this minister by the name of Howard Parrish, who was attending there. And a few days later, he calls me and tells me, there's this church over in Alberg, and it's a little Methodist church and a very small congregation, and the Methodist Conference is wanting to kick the people out and sell the building. I called them to tell them I was praying for them. They asked me to come preach. Do you want to go with me? I said, sure. So I came over here and Howard Parrish preached the message. And as he preached, the congregation asked him to become the pastor. When the Methodist conference found out that the little congregation now had a pastor, they sold the building to the ministry for $8,000. We had broken windows, no indoor plumbing. The basement was full of clothes because it had a clothes closet that was unkempt and untidy. But that was the start of God's little brown church. Seven years later, Howard retired and turned the church over to me. And I've been the pastor of this church since January 1st of 2006. I'm a swamp rat. I'm from the Everglades. I was one of those. I used to have a t-shirt that said, I'm the one your mother warned you about. Okay? I was not the person you'd expect to become a minister. My old Navy buddies, when they found out, they're like, you are a pastor? But God has a plan and God directs our steps. And having been here now in our 18th year being faithful, we see God at work every day, God at work in people's lives, because we're doing what we know God has called us to do. We have faith that God who put us here has a plan and purpose. And I don't have to understand what it is. I have to be obedient. As God is working in your life and He tells you to do something, you don't have to understand what's going on. But you have to believe that if God has brought you into it, He's going to bring you through it. He will equip you and give you exactly what you need to follow and obey His word. He will give you exactly what you need to be the light He's called us to be. Praise God. Getting back onto this, Noah, there for 100 years, was steadfast and faithful, trusting that God told him to do it. He didn't understand why. There's nothing in his natural experience that would explain how come he's got to build a boat. But God told him to, and he was willing to do it. Are there things in your life that you know God has told you to do that to the outside doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense? How in the world is that even going to work? But we know that God is at work. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 18. Jesus has just come back from across the Sea of Galilee. And it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. This is the story of Jairus' daughter. In another passage, in another one of the Gospels, it says, my daughter is sick, come and pray for him. Here in Matthew, it says, she's just died, come and lay your hand on him. Come and lay your hand on her, she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be healed. I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. This woman had heard about Jesus, but she hadn't heard anything about people just touching his garment. But this woman said, I've tried everything. Another account in one of the other Gospels said that she had spent everything she had on physicians and was none the better. She was just in worse and worse and worse shape. But she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. When we go to God, do we go with the expectation that my God is able? My God is willing. There is nothing too hard for him. Do we go with the expectation that as I lay my life before the Lord, he's going to make something of it? This woman said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And he touched her, and Jesus turned around and said, "Your faith has made you whole." We know about the centurion who says, "I'm not even worthy that you should come into my house, but if you'll just send your word, my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "I haven't seen this great faith anywhere." The faith that moves God, the prayers that God answers, comes from a faith in knowing that God is able and God wants to. It's a passage that says, "Be of good cheer, little children. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's another passage in 2 Kings. It says, "The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf." Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights. God wants to show Himself mighty in your life. God wants to. Yet we're called to have faith in Him. And I'm not one of those name it, claim it preachers. I really don't. There's things I've seen God do, and it's things I've seen that He hasn't done. I've laid my hands on people, and God has moved and healed them. And other times He hasn't. And I guarantee you, it's not me. Yep, we're going to get to that in a little bit. At any rate, Jesus, on His way to Jairus' house to lay hand to raise up his daughter, and He goes in and she gets healed. Jairus said, Come lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. And she lived. He knew it was going to happen. He had faith and trusted her. While Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house, Jesus is interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood, who says, "If I can touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole." And it was. Jesus did what they knew He was able to do, that the healing virtue went out to Him and healed him. But here's an interesting passage. Maybe you hadn't noticed this before. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 34, says, "When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and the men of that place And when the men of that place recognized Him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to Him all who were sick, and begging Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched it will be made perfectly well." The woman with the issue of blood, without any history of it having happened, says, "If I can but touch the hem of His garment." But the testimony of that went forth so that a few chapters later, in another place, the word had gone out and people were brought, "Just come to touch the hem of His garment." And as many as did were made whole because they had the faith, the understanding that God was able and God was willing to touch and change their lives. Acts 5, beginning with verse 14. Talking about the church in Jerusalem, says, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And also the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." We had a minister here last week, an evangelist who's been to 86 countries out of Connecticut. And he had read that verse talking about Peter's shadow falling on people. And as he declared last week, he's a practicing Christian. "When I see what the Word of God says, I try to put it in practice." And as a missionary, as an evangelist, as going to declare the Word of God, he said, "Now this happened with Peter's shadow, but we know it wasn't Peter, it was the Holy Spirit." And he started bringing people up, and his projector wasn't quite as high as this one, but he would have someone who was ill, someone who was in pain, stand in front of the light and have somebody walk past. Not that it's the person, but what can God do? Reading the passage of Scripture, that the shadow of Peter might fall on some of them, and they were healed. Do we believe God is able? Do we believe God is willing? Debs, drop down to Luke 5. Last passage of Scripture. It says that it happened on a certain day, he was in a certain city, and behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." When he put out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. We have these people who went to Jesus, said, "I know you can do this. If you're willing, I'll be made clean." The woman, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." Jairus, "My daughter died, but if you will come and lay your hand on her. She will be raised." The centurion's servant, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house, but if you will send your word, my servant will be healed. The Sidonian woman's daughter. The Sidonian woman comes and says, "Master, heal my daughter." And Jesus says, "It's not fit to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." And she says, "Yes, but even the dogs eat from the table. From the scraps of the table. I don't need you to esteem me. I need you to heal my daughter." When we go before the Lord, do we say, "I know you are able. I know you can do this. And I know it is your good pleasure to bring healing and to bring life." Do we trust that God is able to do above what we can ask or think? Scripture says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him." What can't my God do? Now, do we come before Him in faith, expecting, "If you're willing, you can do this. There is nothing too hard for you. You are able to heal." Scripture says, "I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals thee." Scripture says, "By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed." Do we declare that? Do we step forward in that? And do we believe that God is able? A prayer that God answers is a prayer coming in faith. "Lord, there is nothing you can't do." We all know people who we've been prayed for, and they haven't been healed. We all know that. Each and every one of us know people in our lives. And I don't have all the answers, but I know my God is able. Everything else is up to Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You are a God who heals, a God who saves, a God who delivers, a God who sets free. You are a God who touches and changes lives. You are a God who draws us out of darkness into Your life. You are a God who has drawn us into fellowship. You made the way of reconciliation through the shed blood of Jesus, that we might boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might dwell in Your presence, we might be filled with Your Spirit, we might be called the children of the living God. You have done great and wondrous things in our life, Father, and we thank You for it, Lord. Ask, Father, that You direct us, Father, that You use us, Lord, that You work through us to will and to do of Your good pleasure, that You be glorified in our hearts and in our lives, in our words and in our actions, that we might be the ambassadors of heaven that You've called us to be, that we might be the examples that You've called us to be, that we might be faithful and true witnesses, giving glory to You, pointing the way to You in all that we say. We give praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.